I would invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be looking at a portion of Proverbs 3 today. The page is printed for you in the bulletins if you'd like to use the red Bibles. We've been this summer looking at the book of Proverbs and seeking to gain wisdom, godly wisdom, not wisdom from the world, but wisdom that comes down from above, wisdom from God Himself. And we've been looking at these Proverbs to gain wisdom about a number of different topics. Today we're going to be closing out that summer series, and so we'll be looking at the idea of wisdom in general. Proverbs 3 helps us to do that. I invite you to listen as I read to you, beginning in verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, "Go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it," when you have it with you. Let's pray together. Father, we need wisdom. We need wisdom so that we can live our lives in a way that brings you glory and honor. We need wisdom so that we can live lives of flourishing. We need wisdom so that we can go through this life glorifying you and enjoying you. So we pray that through the work of your Spirit and through these words in Proverbs, that you would give us wisdom today. And we ask it because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What do you think is the most important character quality that somebody can have? What is the character quality that you most want to be evident in your life? To be loving? To be gracious? To be generous? Peaceful? Honest? A person of integrity? Godly? Why is it that when we think about that, wisdom isn't at the top of the list? Being wise isn't the first thing that comes as we answer that question in our minds. The idea of wisdom is all throughout the Scriptures. We've read passages already earlier in the service in two places in the New Testament, but it's all over the Scriptures. But isn't it interesting? Wisdom is not one of the fruit of the Spirit that's listed in Galatians 5. It's not part of the armor of God that we're given in Ephesians 6. It's not in the list of character qualities that are needed for elders and deacons in 1 Timothy 3. It's not part of the Ten Commandments. And yet, God gave us an entire book of the Bible that's focused on wisdom, getting wisdom, being wise, living with wisdom. Wisdom is not included in any of those other lists because it is presupposed as a character quality that is behind all of the rest. God intends for His people to be filled with wisdom. Wisdom is what enables us to live between the commandments. Now, what does that mean? It means that wisdom is how we apply God's word into our lives, the daily practical application of God's truth into the circumstances of life. That's what wisdom is. Bruce Waltke, a seminary professor and biblical scholar, in his commentary on Proverbs, as he's reflecting on verses 19 and 20, if you just look there quickly, he says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth." And this is what he said. "If the Lord, with wisdom as His tool, accomplished the wonders of the various phases of creation, setting the earth on its foundations by splitting the primeval waters, and setting the heavens in their appointed place, and watering the earth with dew from its clouds, think of what His revealed wisdom will do in the lives of those who find it." Wisdom. Getting it. Growing in it. Living in wisdom. It should be of the utmost importance to us. And all summer we've been looking at the book of Proverbs and seeking to grow in our wisdom about things like our words and our work, anger and self-control, money, envy, conflict. And today, as we wrap up this summer study of Proverbs, we're going to take a step back and look at wisdom in general. What is wisdom? What do we get from wisdom? And how can we get wisdom? Now, before we jump into Proverbs 3 and look at those things, just a little bit of context here. The opening chapters of this book give us a lecture that's being given by a father, Solomon, to his son, and in some context, his sons. And the father is lecturing the son to give him guidance and counsel and advice. He wants his son to be wise, to live life with godly wisdom, which would lead to flourishing. When we read Proverbs 3, we're reading God giving Solomon, his servant, wisdom, so that Solomon could pass that wisdom on to his son. But we're also reading this, as we read it, we're reading God's wisdom for us. God's wisdom to us today. He's instructing not just Solomon and Solomon's son. God is instructing us about wisdom. And so what does God tell us about what wisdom is? Well, we see a number of things here in these opening verses. In verses 1 and 2, we see that wisdom is obeying God's word. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." And that's certainly not surprising, is it? If you want to be wise, then you need to know and you need to obey the word of God. God's teaching, God's commandments, they're not just some arbitrary rules that we've been given. They're not just guidelines that we're supposed to follow. God's word is given to us so that we can know who God is and what it means to live as His people. As we obey God's word, we grow in wisdom, we grow in insight and understanding that leads to flourishing in life. Now, of course, that presupposes that we're reading it. Spending time in the Word, studying it, learning it, If you come to Trinity on a regular basis, you know that we get a good dose of Scripture every Sunday in our worship services, our Sunday school classes, and that is necessary, but it's not sufficient. If your only time reading God's Word and studying God's Word is here on Sunday morning, that is not enough. You need to be in God's Word throughout the week. That's what wisdom is. We also see that wisdom is learning the depth of God's grace. Look at verses 3 and 4. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. There's that important and very precious word, steadfast love. In the Hebrew, it's the word chesed. It's God's special covenant love for His people. And here we're being told that wisdom is getting God's love, His grace, deeper and deeper into our hearts. And the word for heart in Hebrew is not just a physical heart. It doesn't just mean a certain part of our body. It means the very center of who we are, the very core of who we are. Wisdom is never stopping to discover the depth of God's covenant love, of His grace to you. The gospel is not just something that we believe once in order to get salvation. The gospel of grace is something that we must believe every day, every moment of our life, that we would spend our lives seeking to understand it more and more. In 1 Peter 1, there's this interesting phrase that Peter writes. He's talking about God's grace. He's talking about God's grace and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in 1 Peter 1 that the angels long to look into it. That the angels long to study and to understand the grace of God. But if angels who have never experienced God's grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ long to it, how much so should we? And that's what wisdom is. Learning the depth of God's grace. It's also trusting the Lord. You see that in verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Wisdom is trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord with all of who we are. Not leaning on our own understanding of things, because our own understanding of things is flawed and often wrong. But we are to trust the Lord, and especially in moments when we experience, well, what we are experiencing is confusing or difficult to understand. In moments when we are tempted to doubt the goodness of God or the faithfulness of God or the fact that God is in control, we are to trust Him. Wisdom is resisting the urge to lean on our own understanding of things in that moment. Instead, wisdom is trusting the Lord, believing what He has said about Himself, believing that He is good, believing that He is faithful, believing that He is sovereign. That's what wisdom is. Closely related to that, we see in verses 7 and 8, wisdom is fearing the Lord. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. You know that that word for fear there doesn't mean to be afraid, like you might be afraid in the dark. It has the sense of reverence and honor, awe and respect, holding the Lord high and worshiping Him. Rather than being wise in our own eyes and holding ourselves high and worshiping ourselves or anything else, wisdom is fearing the Lord. To fear the Lord and to turn away from evil. It's living our lives fully committed and devoted to the Lord and putting Him first above all else. That's what wisdom is. We also see that wisdom is honoring the Lord with our wealth. You can see that in verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. The word there for honor is the Hebrew word kavod. It means to be weighty, to be heavy. And when it's used about people, It means to esteem them, to regard them as having such value, such that they are given social weight and prominence. Here, we are being told that to be wise, you must honor the Lord. Hold the Lord high, esteem Him in high regard. Consider the Lord's weightiness. And specifically, how are you to do that according to this proverb? We are to serve the Lord and others with our wealth, with the first fruits of our income, of our wealth. That's what wisdom is. It's using our income, it's using our wealth to honor the Lord. That means being thoughtful and intentional about how you use your wealth in your own household, how you use your wealth to help and to bless others, how you give your wealth away to good ministries in ways that the Lord is at work. It means to live on less than you make and to have margin in your lives. It means taking care of your own household and then being radically generous toward others. It means understanding that all that you have has been given to you by God. He calls you to be a steward of it, a good steward of the resources that He entrusts to you. That's how you honor the Lord with your wealth, and that is wisdom. Wisdom, lastly, is not despising the Lord's discipline. You see it in verses 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves as a father, the son in whom He delights. This is actually quoted later in the Bible in Hebrews chapter 12. Listen as the author of Hebrews picks up on this idea of not despising the Lord's discipline. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Wisdom is not despising the Lord's discipline, that is, not rejecting it, not refusing it. Why not? Because the Lord's discipline is meant to bring us away from that which is harmful to us. As we walk down the pathway of disobedience, we head for the cliff. We head for harm and destruction. And the Lord disciplines us to bring us back onto the path of obedience, which leads to life. Of course, it's not pleasant at the time when we receive discipline from the Lord. It doesn't feel good. Sometimes it's even painful. But Hebrews says it leads to a peaceful fruit of righteousness. And this is wisdom. Not despising, refusing, or rejecting the Lord's discipline, but being taught by it. Now, before we move on to see what we get from wisdom, let me just give you a couple points of application. The first is this. You notice, as we look at all these aspects of what wisdom is, it's not just about our knowledge. Wisdom is not just about having information, about understanding things. Wisdom is not just something we acquire in our minds. Wisdom involves action. It involves participation, engaging, experience. I have a pastor friend that puts it this way. Wisdom is like knowing good food. If you know good food, it doesn't just mean you know the ingredients. Right? It doesn't mean that you know how the food was prepared. No, to know good food means you have experienced it. You have tasted it. You have smelled it. You have enjoyed its goodness. You have participated with it. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom involves action and participation. Look at what we've seen that God, that wisdom is. It is obeying God's word. It is experiencing the depth of God's grace. It is trusting the Lord, fearing the Lord, acting in an honoring way with our money to the Lord. Wisdom's not just knowing facts and information. It's acting on the knowledge that we're given through the word of God. And then secondly, Carl Truman has written a recent book called The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self. It's a great book. It's hard to get through. But one of the main points that he makes is since at least the time of the philosopher Rousseau, we've been taught that if we want to have wisdom, if we want to understand who we are, if we want to understand our identity, then we need to look inside of ourselves. We need to listen to that quiet inner voice to get that kind of understanding. That's not what God's word says. If we want wisdom, if we want to understand who we are, if we want to understand our identity, we must look outside of ourselves. We look to God. Our inner voice, our inner self is flawed. It is tainted by the fall. It is subjective and it changes. But God is perfect and never wrong and never changes. He is objective. The wisdom that we want and the wisdom that we need, it comes from God. It's found in God. Secondly, let's look and see what it is that we get from wisdom here, going back to Proverbs chapter 3. We see, first of all, that what we get from wisdom is blessing. Blessing from the Lord. You can see it in verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom. And again, at the end of verse 18, as he's personifying wisdom as a woman, he says that those who hold her fast are called blessed. One of the commentators that I was looking at this week pointed out that the word blessing here, it may be one of the most used and least understood words in popular Christianity. You think about all of the ways we use that word. I've done this myself. We close emails with blessings, comma, and then your name, right? Or when someone sneezes around us, we say, bless you, right? And if you're on social media, you'll often see hashtag blessed. And what we mean by those things is we hope that you are well. We hope that you aren't getting a cold or getting sick. And happy things are happening here in this situation. The Hebrew word blessed here has a much greater meaning. It has the sense of God's grace and God's goodness being channeled into our lives in such a way that we have life that is prospering and flourishing, that we become who God intends us to be, that we have lives of true and uttermost fulfillment. That's what it means to be blessed. And that same grace and goodness from God not only comes into us, channels into our life, but it flows from us to others such that they are blessed. That's what it means when God says we're blessed. That's what we get from wisdom. Growing in God's wisdom leads us to lives that prosper and flourish and are fulfilling. Growing in God's wisdom leads us to channel God's goodness and grace that we experience to others. And notice the author here tells us it's so much more valuable than gold or silver or jewels or anything else we would try to compare it to. It's one of the things we get from wisdom, blessing from the Lord. A second thing we get from wisdom is peaceful pleasantness. You can actually see that. In verse 17, again, personifying wisdom as a woman, he says, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. And he fleshes that what that means, that wisdom gives us peaceful pleasantness. He fleshes that out in these verses. Look at verse 16. He tells us that means long life. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. And again in verse 2, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Living in God's wisdom leads to a better quantity and quality of life. Now, obviously, this isn't a guarantee. It's not saying that if we don't live a long life, then we must not be wise. These are proverbs. They're explaining how things often work in God's world. And it makes sense, doesn't it? If we live ungodly, reckless lives, ignoring what God says is best for us, it's probably going to mean we'll have a hard life and possibly a life that's cut short by bad and wrong decisions that we make. A second thing of being what it means to have peaceful pleasantness from wisdom is riches and honor. Again, you saw that in what I read in just a moment ago. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Again, this is not a promise. It's not a guarantee. It's an explanation of what often is true. As we are faithful, as we are godly, as we are wise with our money and with our wealth and our resources, the Lord often gives more. As we are wise and good as God's stewards with what He has entrusted to us, He often gives us more to steward. It also means that we have peace. We saw that at the end of verse 17. All her paths are peace. And we saw it in verse 2 as well. Length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Living with godly wisdom leads to shalom. Shalom means completeness. It means wholeness. It means contentment and welfare and prosperity. It doesn't always mean that if we're not experiencing those things, that we're somehow not living in godly wisdom in some way, but it might. Because living in godly wisdom leads to peace. It leads to shalom. It also leads to life for the soul. You see that in verses 21 and 22. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. All the commentators agree that the sense here is this life that it's talking about is eternal life. We even have a reference to the tree of life, an allusion back to the garden before the fall, the tree that sustained Adam and Eve in the garden. And it makes sense. Living in godly wisdom leads us to know that we are sinners and that we are in need of a Savior. It leads us to embrace Jesus as the one who is the Lord and Savior and to put our faith in Him for salvation. And that leads to eternal life. It also leads to security. You see that in verses 23 to 26. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Living in godly wisdom leads to walking securely. It leads to a growing confidence in the Lord that He will guide and direct us and keep us safe. It leads us to a confidence that when scary things happen in our lives, the Lord has us. The Lord will not leave us. We can put our head on the pillow at night and have sweet sleep and be content because the Lord is watching over us. That's what we get from godly wisdom. We also get a straight path. We saw that in verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Living and walking in godly wisdom leads to a straight path in life. Now, the word here the words that are being used here for will make straight your paths doesn't have the sense of making your life easy. It doesn't mean there won't be curves on the way. It doesn't mean there won't be detours that you're not expecting. But what it means is that you can know that you're going in the right direction. You are in the direction of life that is pleasing to the Lord. So as we live in godly wisdom, it gives us this growing confidence that we're on the right road of living in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. What does wisdom give us? It gives us blessing from the Lord. It gives us peaceful pleasantness. It also gives us an ability to help others. You see that in verses 27 and 28. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it. When you have it with you. Living in godly wisdom leads us to be people who help others, that we would help our neighbors. Our neighbors are worthy of help. They're due goodness from us because they are made in God's image. They are fellow image bearers along with us. And as we grow in godly wisdom, less and less will we withhold goodness, and more will we help those around us. Lastly, how do we get wisdom? How do we get wisdom? Look at verses 19 and 20. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open, and the clouds dropped down the dew. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting? The Lord, Yahweh, by wisdom founded the earth. That's not how we usually think about the Lord creating, is it? We think about him speaking creation into existence. We think about him creating by the word of his power. But here, what are we told? The Lord created the world by wisdom. When we put this all... and here's the thing. We know more than Solomon knew when he wrote these words. He's telling us that the Lord created the world by wisdom. But we have the full account of God's word. We have the Gospel of John. We have a fuller understanding of what took place at creation. Listen to what John tells us in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We put all this together with what Solomon was telling us. We realize that Jesus is the ultimate wisdom. Jesus is true wisdom. It is by wisdom that God created the world. And yet it is Jesus, the Word, through whom all was created. Jesus is the ultimate wisdom. If we want to get wisdom, we need to have Jesus. If we want to have and to grow in godly wisdom, we need to know and grow in our relationship with Jesus. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We get the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. That sounds a lot like wisdom. That's what wisdom is. We see it, and we see it, and we get it in the face of Jesus. If you want to get wisdom, you need to have Jesus. So here's the question. Do you have Jesus? Do you know Jesus as the Lord and King? Do you know Jesus as the Savior and Redeemer? If not, let today be that day. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust and your confidence in Him as the only one who can take away your sin. Believe in Him as the only one who can bring reconciliation between you and the Lord God Almighty. Do you know Jesus? But even for you who would say that you know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, the question is, are you actively and intentionally seeking to grow in your relationship with Jesus? Faith in Jesus is not just knowing and believing the facts about the person of Jesus and the work of Jesus. Faith in Jesus is a relationship with Jesus, one that is filled with love and intimacy and trust. It is seeking to know Him better by reading His Word. It is spending time with Him in prayer, sharing your deepest needs and wants and desires. It is growing in your belief and trust that He really wants and He really does what is best for you. Are you being intentional about growing in knowing Jesus? If you want to have wisdom, you need to have Jesus. You need to know Jesus. Kevin DeYoung has a new little book that came out recently, just within the last couple of months. It's called Impossible Christianity. Here's the subtitle: Why Following Jesus Does Not Mean You Have to Change the World, Be an Expert in Everything, Accept Spiritual Failure, and Feel Miserable Pretty Much All the Time. I would commend it to you. It's a good book. We'll get copies for it on the book wall. And I want to close today by just reading a couple paragraphs from the end of his book. DeYoung says, "It's one of the great paradoxes of our time. Almost everything is getting better, but we keep feeling worse. Obviously, there is no shortage of bad news in the world. And on a personal level, things may be especially challenging in your life at the moment. But on a global and historical scale, we live in a remarkable age. It can be hard to tell, both because we get used to the way things are and because the news mainly talks about bad news. But by almost every conceivable earthly measure, you and I are living in the healthiest, safest, and most prosperous time in the history of the world. World gross product tripled from $430 billion to $1.2 trillion from 1500 AD to 1820. Then it grew to $3.4 trillion by 1900. In 2018, the global economic output stood at $121 trillion, and it's estimated to be $600 trillion by the end of the century. Global GDP per capita barely increased from the time of Christ until 1800. But following the Industrial Revolution and the introduction of free market capitalism, GDP per capita began to skyrocket, so that the real standard of living across the globe has increased tenfold, and in rich countries more than that. If you look at a graph of economic output in the world, the horizontal line would be almost completely flat for most of history. The line would start trending up around 1800 and finally shoot up straight around 1900. The global population in extreme poverty was at 84% in 1830. Today it's at 8.6%. Since 1952, global inequality among people and between countries has been decreasing. The percentage of people living in urban slums has decreased sharply on every continent since 1990. People are far wealthier despite working fewer hours. In 1950, we worked an average of 2,123 hours a year. In 2017, the number was 1,723. The area covered by trees has been increasing in Asia, Europe, and North America for decades. There are more trees in Europe now than in the Middle Ages. Since 1960, the number of democracies has been steadily increasing, and the number of autocracies has plummeted. There are far fewer wars on the planet than 70 years ago. The chance of a person dying in a natural catastrophe, earthquake, flood, wildfire, epidemic, has declined 99% over the last 100 years. The global literacy rate in 1820 was 10%. Today it's 90%. In 1820, average global life expectancy was 30. Now it's 72. Infant mortality around the globe has plummeted since 1950. The rates of tuberculosis and malaria have fallen sharply since 2000. The number of deaths per 100,000 from cancer has been in decline since 1995. In many ways, the planet is healthier too. CO2 emissions per dollar of GDP has been falling since 1960. The world produces more oil and has more oil in reserves than in 1980. We use water more efficiently. Access to clean water has increased since 1990 from 75% of the world's population to 90%. We produce crops in levels unheard of just 50 years ago. Air pollution is declining. Infectious diseases have been decreasing. In 1990, U.S. households spent 80% of expenditures on necessities. Now we spend less than 50%, and it's with much, much bigger homes. The average new home in America in 1900 was 700 square feet. In 1972, it was 1,700 square feet. In 2018, it was 2,641 square feet. Technologies that no one had in 1900 are now in virtually every household in this country and in many countries around the world. Electricity, refrigerator, car, indoor plumbing, radio, air conditioning, washer and dryer, microwave, television, cell phone. In 1800, it took 5.4 hours of work for 1,000 lumen hours of light. In 1900, it took 0.22 hours of work. Now it takes 0.00012 hours of human labor for 1,000 lumen hours of light. Humans used to have to work hard just to literally keep the lights on. Now around the clock, lighting is a negligible afterthought. Across the globe, we are richer, healthier, and more comfortable, and we live longer than ever before. And here's how he finished. But are we happier? We could just as easily say, are we wiser? Do we have greater wisdom living in this moment? All of these improvements, all of these good things, prosperity, development of the around the world, those things can't give us godly wisdom. We get godly wisdom by having Jesus and having His Word. The more that we grow in our relationship with Jesus by reading His Word and spending time with Him in prayer and worshiping Him and communing with Him in the Lord's Supper, the more we will grow in godly wisdom. Let's pray together. Father, we are in awe of Your goodness and Your faithfulness, of Your grace and Your love, as You shower it upon us day after day, moment after moment. Father, we desire to be people that are pleasing to You, that honor You and glorify You and enjoy You. To do that, we need Your wisdom, not the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom that comes down from above, the wisdom that is included in Your Word. We pray, Father, that You would help us to grow in our wisdom of Your Word. Give us an appetite for it, a hunger for it. And as we read it, as we study it, as we get to know Jesus better, Father, would You fill us with a growing wisdom, a wisdom that will help us to live between the commandments, to live out what it means to be one of Your people. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.